Today's episode of The Mom Game is brought to you by our friends at Gateway Buick GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is, Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new Buicks, GMCs, and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaybuickgmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule your delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway Buick GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaybuickgmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. Experience the new Buick. Golden Chick, and welcome into the Coppola Studios for episode 223 of The Mom Game. I'm Emily Jones. She is Julie Dobbs. We have a ton to discuss, catch up on, and we have a very special guest coming up a little bit later in the show, Randy Mahomes. You might recognize that last name. That is the mother of Patrick Mahomes. So we're excited to have Randy in studio to talk to us about what it's like being Pat's mom and what she's got going on in her world and kind of what the last, you know, decade or so of her life has been like.
Yep.
Being the mother of one of the most recognizable, successful,
most famous people in the world.
On the planet. Yeah.
I said on the world. In the world, on the world.
On the world, in the world, around the world.
On the world.
Just on top of the world.
Yes.
Tons to get to today, Julie. I'm not really sure where to start. We're in a little bit of a weird position because we had our eye surgeries last week that we talked about on social media. We've been talking about it on the show. Our partners at Tylock George Eye Care Center have come on board with us. We're, you know, in a partnership where they were, you know, helping us with our vision, and we were going to help them, you know, get the word out about their business. And we received some very sad news on Sunday night that Dr. George had unexpectedly passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Dr. George is who did both of our surgeries.
Last
so,
week.
Yeah.
Yeah, very heartbreaking and shocking.
Terrible.
And, like, I called you, and we are still kind of trying to process that news.
Yeah, so we definitely wanted, we're not going to do, like, an ad read or anything like that, but we wanted to, you know, pass along our condolences to the Tylock George family, the George family in particular.
Yep. Tasha, his sweet sister, who was helping us out with the social media, helping us out with the partnership. She was in town to help us, and I can't even imagine what she's going through right now. in that whole office, everybody there, just
so nice.
So nice, so wonderful to work with.
Yeah.
And he, it was his office. And he was amazing. I mean, he did my job, my eyes, and
he did one of mine.
One of
Emily's. My left one is done, and then we'll wait and see what happens. Obviously, way far on the back burner and down the list of things that they have to deal with. So they did send out an email to all their clients and customers that they would be closed for the time being until they can kind of get their bearings. And obviously, they need time to process the loss. So just kind of a strange set of circumstances, heartbreaking set of circumstances. But we did want to acknowledge that that had happened and send our thoughts and prayers to the Tyluck George family for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if we're catching up, like one of the big catch ups is that I can see.
I know, which
and
is
that
great.
Was thanks to them.
I know,
yeah.
I know. So you don't have to wear glasses.
I don't have to wear glasses anymore. I can drive at night without having to scramble around looking for glasses. I'm excited to be able to play tennis and not have to, like, you know, the sun goes down in the middle of a match and I'm like, hang on a second, everybody, I got to go find my glasses, because take off the prescription sunglasses and put on the real ones. So, so I'm super excited and just doing a lot of eye drops now, and I'm sleeping in some cool goggles for one more night.
There you go.
Family loves. But yeah, that was a big part of the last week for us.
Yeah.
And the whole experience with Tyluck George has been wonderful.
Yeah.
And so we know they're going through a lot right now, and we hope that they know that we are here for them.
For sure. And my surgery went well. Left eye is doing good. My recovery process is a little bit longer as far as that vision becoming crisp and clear. And then I'll have the other eye done at some point. But yeah, just heartbreaking circumstances for Tyluck George, and we want them to know that we're definitely thinking of them and here to do whatever we can to help as a partner. Okay, what else is going on? Weird, awkward transition.
Yeah.
It's just
weird. You're about to go on vacay.
Oh, my gosh.
Almost there.
It cannot get here soon enough. I'm making myself crazy, and I think as a byproduct, I'm making my family crazy.
Uh-huh.
And we've talked about this before. When I travel for work, it's not the actual being gone. It's the lead up to being gone, because I'm such a freak about everything being in order and being, I don't know. I don't know if I need like a tranquilizer gun or what. I cannot sit still in my own home. I cannot sit still.
Do you have any weeds left to be pulled?
The weeds have been picked. And then I told you this on the phone last night. Like, Father's Day is Sunday. I'm trying to, you know, enjoy the time we get up and go to church and come home. I get my weeds picked. Like, feel like I've got everything in order. The kids are packed because we leave for Florida, like, at the butt crack on Thursday. So I'm like, okay, I got to get – so then I'm like, I need to relax, and it's Father's Day. Like, Mike's smoking a brisket. We're watching the Rangers and the U.S. Open.
Nice.
Yeah. And so I get my bathing suit on, and I'm hanging out with the kids. And then what do I start doing? I start picking leaves out of the pool. And then I can't get in the water because of my eye surgery. And then I'm asking the kids, will you grab that leaf over there? And Henry's like, Mom, like, what? What are you doing? Like, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I have problems. I have so many problems.
Okay, so tell me this. When do you have you ever relaxed?
I can relax when we have guests at our house, and I have a glass of wine in my hand.
Okay,
that's it.
So you just need to always have guests over.
So I just need to have constant guests and a keg of wine. Like, I don't know. Like, I
or
don't
an
know.
Early bird CBD.
Right. Well, and that does help. But I feel like that early bird, when I love early bird. I mean, I love it.
Yeah, it's the end of the night.
That's the nightcap. That's right. The ultimate ender to my, like, that's when I know, like, okay, now it's time to shut it down. And I know what it can do for me. And I don't even know I think a lot of it is, you know, what it's contained in those gummies. I believe that, you know, the formula that they have helps me calm down and go to sleep. But I think even too, it's this, now at this point, the psychology for me that, like, it's almost like my mind knows that, like, as soon as I take those, that, like, okay, now it's time.
Checked everything off the list.
Yes. Yeah, I know. It's just, it's a problem. But while we're talking about early bird, we should probably bring up the fact that we do have a coupon code.
Oh yeah, we do.
What is it?
Hopefully everybody's using it.
Yeah.
It is the mom game in all caps. It is an active coupon code. So go hit it up right now. You'll get 20% off of your first order online of those Early Bird CBD gummies. It's a new code, so even if you've purchased previously with a code from us, this one will work for you. Earlybirdcbd.com. Use that code, the mom game, and these things are amazing. They do have a microdose of THC from hemp. 2.5 milligrams of THC and 12.5 milligrams of CBD. And that's the core feature of the gummies, and that's kind of just what you need to know. And the other thing you need to know is that it's just going to help you chill out, and it's going to help you sleep.
For sure. So anyway, those would help. I just don't feel like I can like pop Early Birds like starting at noon. I don't think that's probably a very effective way for me to go through life.
Yeah, probably not. Okay, but in you're going to Florida.
Yes.
You can relax there.
So in Florida.
Hopefully you're not going to be cleaning the ocean.
I will not be cleaning the ocean. There will be no driving.
Uh-huh.
There might be the midday early bird pop in Florida. Because literally we'll be walking to the beach and walking home. You know, I'm not there. Like I said, no driving, nothing like that. But I'm so looking forward to this. It's like we talked about with Ben Rogers last week, you know, trying to like really be in those moments.
Yeah.
And me by the pool yesterday was like an effort to get there. And then I'm picking leaves out of the pool.
Yeah.
Like I just need to shut it down. Like
right.
I need to shut it down. And so I think going to Florida, which we have done every year since Hattie was one, I think that this will be a really good recharge for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be doing, I'll be doing very, very minimal work, very minimal checking of email and all that kind of stuff to where I can really just enjoy the time with my family. I think it's definitely important. But I've got to figure out if anyone has any tips, like how I can chill the fuck out at home, holler at your girl. Cause I don't know if it's also to the fact that we built this house, we've been in it for about a year and a half now, and I'm just trying to stay on top of everything so it stays like it's brand new. I don't know. Like there's a lot of
more home.
I mean? Yeah. It's a lot of it's home stuff. Like, you know, I don't know. And a lot of it's just my personality.
Yeah, I guess that's probably a weird feeling. Like when you work for so long to design, build, whatever, and then the house is finally done, and then it's like if there's a mess, you know it's – or if something's wrong, it's you. Like you know it's because you were
right.
there. Like I moved into an old home. It was my grandmother's home. So there's just so much shit wrong with it that like it just doesn't stress me out because it's just been that way. It's not like we did it or whatever. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
But I imagine it's like a total different feeling in a new home.
Also, too, it goes back to my control issues. Like,
yeah.
I want to control shit. It's almost like I know what all my – I'm very self-aware, I feel like, as far as, like, identifying, like, the shit's wrong with me.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to fix all of it.
Well, doctors.
So that might help. But then I'm like, then they're going to tell me to stop doing stuff that – brings me joy to have control over.
Maybe.
I know.
We all have our things, Em.
I know. How are you? How are
I'm good.
Good.
But
you
are you
no
worried
kids.
About? I know.
Okay.
I have to ask you about the sharks, though.
Oh yes, the sharks.
There's been shark attacks.
Yes.
Everywhere, but in Florida too.
Yes. No. Is that weird that I'm worried about everything in my life?
I mean, not that many.
And I couldn't be less concerned about the sharks. Like,
what
just,
if y'all see one?
It's not. Cool. Like, yeah. I mean, we don't go far enough out, like,
You're more likely to get in a car wreck than to get bitten by a shark.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, for sure.
But it's just like it's a wave of them.
It is.
Right now.
And it's
you're more likely to get hit by a deer than you are to get bitten by a shark.
Right. So anyway, I don't think it's like, it's not in my mind. Like, which is kind of funny to think about. The fact that,
it's just been all over Facebook.
That's the thing.
Little girl named Lulu that lost her arm and leg.
I didn't see about Lulu.
Oh, I saw all about Lulu. Oh, she used to live in Dallas or Austin, and now she's in Alabama.
And
Lulu lost some limbs.
That's
and
awful.
I know, it's awful. And then
how
other people.
How old was Lulu?
She was like, I don't know, second grade or something.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I wonder how far out she was.
It's like Rosemary Beach or somewhere in that area. Yeah.
Yeah. Rosemary.
Not far out at all.
No. Rosemary's not that far from where we'll be.
Yeah. No. It didn't. And then they've been spotted in Galveston, too. So it's not just Florida. It's like something about.
Is it global warming?
No, it's all got to do with certain
signs that are. My sister-in-law was trying to bring up global warming so we could start global a political warming. Discussion.
My sister-in-law said it was something about the orca whales taking the spots where the sharks used to be, and so the sharks are moving in closer.
Okay.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know. There's all kinds of theories.
Yes, but I will keep my eye out for sharks.
Okay, good.
Yes.
We don't need any shark attacks.
No.
On the mom
game.
I would miss you. I would miss your limbs.
Thank you. I would miss my limbs too. Yeah. So we're good. Ready
okay,
for
good.
A vacay. You had no kids.
Yeah, I had no kids for a week.
For a week. What did you do?
It was kind of weird. It was really weird.
Yeah.
I didn't love it.
Yeah.
It was weird. My kids went to Camp Gigi Papa. They went with their grandparents for a week in Austin in the ranch. They do that every year. And I just kind of lined it up with when we were having our eye surgery because I knew that would be a tough time for me to parent. And it was because I slept for 13 hours after we had our eye surgery.
Oh, my gosh. You told me that. That was
amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so it was fun. We, like, went to dinner every night pretty much because I was like, we might as well because usually it's, like, so hard to just go
get
to dinner
because
you have to get a sitter or anything else. So I was like, let's just go eat every night, and we had fun, and then we were very ready to go get them back and meet them, so we went to the ranch for Father's Day in Llano and had a great time. It was good. Father's Day was fun, and then we drove back yesterday and just kind of back in the saddle this week. Ryder's doing a Cowboys camp out at the Star in Frisco this week. He wore his Travis Kelce jersey. And then I guess was getting razzed. Like Kelly took him this morning and said there was some former Cowboys are there, not current, but like probably much older. But one of the guys was like, giving him crap for his jersey. And he ended up taking it off and putting his little camp t-shirt on. So he's doing that. And we have some camps this week, but just chilling, just hanging out.
I know.
Summer
living.
Yeah, summer living.
And then Ryder's going to the North Texas Food Bake Camp in a couple weeks. That'll be fun.
Yes, he's excited.
Yeah.
He has a friend that's going to go with him on July 1st. It's a really cool thing that the North Texas Food Bank does. And so they offered the opportunity for our kids to go. And it's like a full day where they get to go see and learn all about.
And help. Yeah.
And so I think that'll be really good for him.
Awesome.
And his big birthday party is coming up. I say big birthday party. It's three boys. We're doing a slumber party this Sunday night.
Fun.
And then Monday morning, we're going to main event.
So fun.
In Grand Prairie.
Where
we had a meeting and where we're going to work on something fun for some of our listeners.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Like that whole, Patty was so disappointed that the zero gravity thing was waiting on a part for repair, but we're headed back there for sure. Cause she's
Ryder
going on the zero gravity thing.
Yeah. Really cool.
Yeah. Super cool. Okay. What else do we have to discuss?
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
summertime.
Yep.
I know.
Summertime.
Are you gonna miss me when I'm on vacation?
I'm going to miss you. It's kind of long, right?
It's kind of long. Well, yeah, 9 days.
9 days.
I know.
Solid.
I know. And summer's going to be over, though, before we know it. I'm like, we need to enjoy this.
Yeah.
We need to enjoy it before, like, homework and schedules and bedtimes and all that kind of stuff happens again. Let's enjoy it.
Yeah. We've got Canada mid-July.
Fun.
So we'll do that.
Super
fun. Flying by, though.
Okay, it is. It is flying by. Okay, it's time to get to our special guest. That, of course, we alluded to a little bit earlier is Randy Mahomes, and she is brought to us by our friends at Heartland Bread Company, who is a new partner here on The Mom Game, founded by a former cancer researcher who could not find bread on store shelves that didn't contain harmful ingredients and chemicals. Heartland Bread was formed as the only store shelf bread in Texas that is made with no chemicals, preservatives, oils, and is never frozen. Bread is delivered fresh to store shelves from oven to shelves. 100% natural and delicious. We are a true Texas company with a real bakery in Dallas. The bread is baked fresh daily, except for Sundays. Heartland has grown to over 180 stores in the DFW area and Austin. We've got Whole Foods, Sprouts, Kroger, Albertsons, Tom Thumb, and Natural Grocers, just to name a few. They can be ordered online for delivery directly to your doorstep, delivered to all 50 states, as a matter of fact, owned by an NBA president, a current NBA president, a former NBA player, and a current NBA coach. all local to Dallas, as well as a local real estate partner. Discount code for our listeners is baseball. That gets you any of their delicious loaves for just $4. Premium flavors, just a buck more. No limits. That's heartlandbreadco.com. Super excited to have them on board. You've tried the bread, Julie. I know I have. So has my family.
Yeah.
They let me sample some of the jalapeno cheddar, which I don't think is out yet, but it is so delish.
Yeah.
I'm going to order some too. Yeah.
Yeah. I went online and that code does work. It's awesome. It saves you a couple bucks on each loaf.
Yeah.
And you can order and it gets delivered straight to your door, and the different types of bread they have look so good. I think I'm just going to make that like a perma order.
Yeah.
Each week or couple of weeks for our family.
Yeah.
I love that there's no bad stuff in it.
No bad stuff in it.
Yes.
They're working. Didn't they say they're working on gluten-free?
Yeah. They are working on a gluten-free.
Yeah. Because Julie asked specifically that question.
I sure did. Yeah. Time now for our special guest.
And here she is. We are so excited to have her in studio with us, Randy Mahomes. Randy, we have so much to talk to you about, obviously, your family, but also to your personal. You've carved out quite a niche for yourself. So we're going to kind of just talk about a little bit of everything, if that's okay with you. So thanks for coming in and being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. You said before we started recording, you're not afraid of the microphone. You like the mic. Pick it up.
Just watch out.
Take it home with you. Put it in your purse.
I'm like, Mia, let's get this.
Yeah. And your daughter Mia is here. Mm-hmm. She's going into eighth grade. Y'all live in Tyler now. Mm-hmm. But you're telling me you grew up in a small town in Texas. Tell me about just kind of growing up in a small town. I grew up in Plainview, but I think probably Plainview is way bigger than Troop.
Troop, yes. I grew up, it had a little over 1,000 people. My parents still have a house there. My dad still lives there. And it's home. It really is home. And, my kids grew up in White House and in Tyler, which is only like a town over. But they're so city compared to where we, and even though that's not the city, but they're so like, Troop is just a little country town that I, love.
Yeah. So when you were growing up, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I don't really know. I used to always say a mom.
Okay.
And I would tell people because I didn't know. I was like, I just want to be a mom. And that is my favorite job, even to this day, is being a mom, even though it's turning me gray. but I do love being a mom. And that's really what I wanted to be, that I would joke around with people. I ended up being an event planner. And so I have been at my job for, this is my 20th year that I've been there. And so I plan events, weddings, golf tournaments, tennis events, mm-hmm. meetings, all of that. And so it's something that I was blessed to get at a very hard time in my life. And it's, it's family there now. It's my family away from when I'm not at home or with my kids.
Playing some Super Bowl parties and things.
Yeah. I'm sort of leaving that to them because I'm kind of busy on that weekend. But but we do. I bring all the Chiefs stuff up and I'm like, okay, we're going to do this.
Right.
I threaten everybody there.
I think one of the things that people love about Patrick, and I can tell where he gets it, is just like his humility and being from a small town and being mm-hmm. raised properly and a close, tight-knit family. I think it shows through so vividly anytime a reporter speaks with them, anytime anybody speaks with them. How important, was that to you as a mom when you were raising him, and how proud are you now just every time you watch him, just the way he carries himself as a professional athlete?
I tell him a lot how proud I am of him. Yesterday on Father's Day, I think I'm most proud of him being a father and what I wanted him to be, and Jackson one day as fathers, just seeing how good he is with his kids and how they take, priority over everything else. He came in, he was here for Mother's Day in DFW, and we spent the day, and I know he was going back to Kansas City that day, and I heard him tell my other child, I'm staying until I put my kids to sleep. He wasn't going to leave early. And I was like, I don't even think he knows it, but that meant so much to me to know that he was going to wait and go home later or go back to work later after the kids were in bed. And so I just think, you know, thank you, God, because I know that was something I really wanted all of my kids to know, is how to be good parents. And I do tell Patrick that he's learned from me the bad, like if I did something, like I missed a lot of his games because I work so much. And so I hear him, you know, make comments like, you know, if the game gets, you know, takes away from my kids, I might, may not play as long as Tom Brady. And I'm like, I'm so proud of him for that.
Yeah.
And so I love him, you know, how he is there.
Uh-huh.
So what are your, so you have three children. Mm-hmm. What are their ages? Oh, because gosh. It seems like Mia is
pretty a lot younger. Yes. Yes. Younger. Patrick's almost 30. He'll be 29.
Okay.
Jackson just turned 24. And then Mia is 12, almost 13. So I've always told Patrick and then Jackson that they, you know, he was the man of the house. And, you know, he had to be like the dad or be in charge and growing up when he was younger. And then he's still that way with Jackson and with Mia. He's very protective over them as a father would be. So I think he got a little bit of practice he didn't really want. I don't think at the time when he was younger mm-hmm. that he did have them there, and Brittany was there right when she was born, and so they would keep them for me while I worked at night and stuff. Mm-hmm. So
what was it like being a single mom at that time and then trying to navigate you know, some children that are older in age, and then you know, a baby?
I would say impossible, but I'm here now. It was a lot of hard work. But I did have some friends, and of course Patrick and Brittany, that were there when I would work at night. I don't know if they loved it, but I was like, "Here you go, you know, like y'all, I got to go to work." And so I think it made them grow up probably quicker than I really wanted them to. But at the same time, God had a plan, and I think that's why who he is today, of what all we went through. And from day one, I was always very honest with all of my kids. I'm very upfront, and I want them to know, and I want them to learn, even if it's my mistake or, you know, something I've done, I want them to learn from it, or us all to learn from it. And so even when I got a divorce, I was very honest, and I, you know, sat the kids down and I told them, and, you know, I'm like, you got to be strong. And my biggest thing was we had to be at church on Sunday. I thought if I couldn't teach them, that maybe they would hear something there.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way through college, in college, Patrick and I used to not fight, but I was the mom that I thought when he came in, he needed to see me. And of course, I'm like, kids don't want to hang out with their parents. And so I would decide, he would be like, I was at your house. And I'm like, you slept for 3 hours and then you left. It was like, you slept. And so we got to a point that I said, if you're at church on Sunday, then we won't argue. And it really did. It was just something that I knew that if I couldn't share something, or if he, you know, he's stubborn sometimes like me. Mm-hmm. If he wouldn't want to listen to me, he would get something there. So.
So at what point did, so I am a Red Raider, and so I followed Patrick since his time at Texas Tech. I don't know that anyone saw this coming, even the most diehard Texas Tech fan. Maybe mm-hmm. you guys in the family could see it, but, you know, at what point were you like, okay, and especially with his dad being a professional mm-hmm. athlete also, that like, okay, there's some talent there. Because he could have played other sports, but mm-hmm. he could have played baseball as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that like, okay, this could be something special for him. I want to nurture it as much as I can. But also, too, like, we had a whole discussion about youth sports last mm-hmm. week. It's become so crazy. I mean, and yeah. it's gotten probably a lot crazier since, you know,
since
Patrick.
Even Patrick
yes.
was there.
Yeah.
So how do you balance that as a parent of, like, wanting to be supportive but also not, like, you know, forcing him into things that he didn't want to do? I don't know. I mean, just like navigating that whole process when you think you might have, you know, somebody with some talent on your hands.
Well, I'm very blessed to not have to go through what parents are going through now. And I think some of them were going through it when Patrick was younger, but I didn't know any of that. And I wanted him to play everything and to enjoy being a kid because I grew up really fast. I had him really young, and I wanted him to be a kid as long as he could. Even in college, I begged him to stay another year just because I'm like, once you leave college, you have grown-up stuff, grown-up decisions. You never get that back. And for me, I was a little hard-headed. And my senior year in high school, I quit a few things just because I was cool, I thought. I don't know. I don't remember, but I did. And I wanted him to play everything. And literally, football was probably the last thing that he really liked. And I know it's hard to believe, but he did come to me his junior summer, the year before he was a junior, like I guess his sophomore summer. And he said he wanted to quit football. He didn't want to play football. And I remember I clearly the conversation we had in my living room, and I said, if you quit, you're going to be bored in the stands. It wasn't like we were going to be doing it. I'm like, we're still going to go to the games. You're in Texas.
Oh, yeah. Small town. Texas.
He could never get the quarterback position fully his. And he was just like,
wow,
done with it. And I told him, I was like, I don't see you being in the stands watching. I just think you're going to be bored. And his whole life, well, when he did play football in school, he would pick up a football the day of we start football, and then he would put it down and never touch it again until the next year, because then he started basketball, and then it was baseball. And so, thankfully, we didn't have to do that. But I did know he was very special at sports from a young age, only because other baseball players would ask me when he was little, how do you get him to do this? Mm-hmm. How do you get him to want to come to practice every, you know, to the field with his dad? How do you get him to, you know, I mean, it's just a constant throw, you know, anything that's shaped like a ball closely he'd want to do when he was little. And so I'm like, how do you get him not to do it? Like, I'm trying to figure out how I can quit throwing the ball all the time.
Yeah.
And so I knew he was really good, and he always played with kids 2 or 3 years older than him. Sometimes he would even play a pickup basketball game with his dad, with his old friends, you know. So he was always wanting to play sports. His football wasn't the number one.
Sure.
And then after he decided to stay on one more year with football is when he earned the position that he had wanted. And he started breaking records and doing what I knew he could do, but it's just football wasn't his thing. And still, even when he left college, he told me, he said, Mom, it's time I'm going to do football. And it was like when he was leaving college to get drafted is when he was like, and I knew if he ever focused on one sport, it could really blow up for him, but he never did. He was All-State in baseball, basketball, and those are ones that I loved a little bit more. So anyways, we didn't have to do the travel or when I hear people talk about it, I'm like, wow, like we would have never did that. Like how kids are training to be quarterbacks from such a young age. And even the first couple of years with the Chiefs, I would say, I don't think you're supposed to do that. Like scramble around, running around, do it. I'm like, and he was like, Coach Reed said, if it works, do it. And I'm like, okay, but I don't think you're supposed to do it, but okay. So it's still just something that he's been blessed by God, and his, not only does he have the ability, but he's very smart when it comes to football or learning the game. And
yeah.
I do laugh, and I know many parents probably would disagree, but people are like, how did he learn that? And I'm like, I really think it was video games. Yeah. I know that sounds crazy, but it wasn't like we were out practicing football, or even some moves he did in basketball when he was younger. Or I'm like, he was a video gamer, and I'm like, I mean, we would throw the ball a lot. I would throw it far away from him because I wanted to take longer for him to come back. I'd be like, if he's there, I'm going to throw it like way back there.
So you used to go fetch it. Yeah.
So I would have more time to do what I was doing. And so it's just exploded, you know, since he's, you know, went to tech, and then it's just kind of, he did tech because it had baseball and he could do both.
Yep.
It barely lasted a season because he was like, I was like, no, you're not going to quit, because so many kids would like to do both.
Uh-huh.
And it was a lot. And then he decided to focus just on football.
Yeah.
And so.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've brought up Brittany a number of times. They started dating very early on. What was that relationship like in the beginning, and how, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, grateful are you that that's who we ended up with? Because you can only imagine the pitfalls that could have happened had he not ended up with someone that has known him forever. And, the, you know what I mean? That's got to be, as a mom, that has to be a very comforting feeling.
It really, really is. Just because you see so much and you hear so much. I've been through so much. So I wanted them to be together, just because I'm like, her family lives in East Texas too. You know, I'm thinking of all, I'm being a little selfish, but she's really good for him. She, my family and my friends are like, you and her are just alike. And I'm like, no, we're not. But they're like, yes, you know, y'all are. You're very protective. And they've been together since Mia was born, about 2 weeks after she was born. So she's basically been like, we would laugh and we would do stuff and people would say that was Brittany's daughter.
Oh.
And I'd be like, go get your daughter. Yeah. I'm watching the game, you know. But she's been there. I mean, there were times that they would have moments and, but then he'd want to go out. And I'm like, I'd rather Brittany be here than him go out. Like, you know, like, I don't want him going out. I don't want to worry. And so I love seeing their family, how they are now and as parents. And I don't know where they get their strictness, but they are on a schedule. I guess they need it. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh. And I guess just like Emily said, the rest is history. How has it been for you just kind of sitting back and watching – that all unravel for Patrick as far as his career and just the way it has exploded, probably beyond y'all's wildest dreams, the level
literally
of, that he is in the NFL.
Yeah, it's surreal. I mean, if I ever use that word, it's on that, because there's moments I have to take a moment and look down and be like, because I still look at him the same. I don't look at him as a Super Bowl MVP. I literally, when he was on the Time magazine, and I didn't know he was on the cover until I got it in the mail, and it's sitting on my dresser in my room because I have to remind myself, because he's still my son. I still look at him the same. I look at him like I look at Jackson and Mia. I don't look at him differently. And I look at that magazine and I'm like, wow, you know, but at the same time, treat him the same as I do the other two. And so sometimes he'll be like, you're mad. You're just mad. I'm like, no, I'm just the only person in your world that is honest. Like, I don't know. And I'm sure there's a few other people. I'm sure Brittany is. But
yeah.
I am like the person that's like honest, and he's not going to get any sugarcoating over here, you know, on anything.
And it's so necessary, especially when that rise is so meteoric and it is so fast, and the fame and the fortune and all of it is. And I tell people this all the time. I've been covering, you know, professional sports for, you know, 25 years, that like to see people be able to have all that, whether it's athletes or entertainers or whatever, to get so much so fast and to still remain grounded, you have to have people like that that will keep you in check. And also too, it's, I would assume, hard for them, but also too hard for, like, so how does, I mean, you said Mia's your quiet one, and like, how do Mia and Jackson handle it? How do you handle that, being, you know, your Patrick Mahomes' mom, your Patrick Mahomes' sister, your Patrick Mahomes' brother? Like, does that become daunting at times? Like, how
extremely.
Do you?
Extremely. You know, as much as I say that we're blessed and, you know, Patrick's living his dream, it has been the hardest 7 years of my adult life.
Really?
It's been really hard to juggle. Just the, you know, being proud of him, but then the hate that you get. It's, you know, my other kids, and I'm like, it's extreme. I mean, in myself, I'm like, you know, I can't even explain how hard it's been. I've cried a lot. I've struggled with it. And, you know, I don't try to put it on my kids or Patrick, but, you know, he's working his tail off every day. He's really, you know, doing what he needs to do and has his family and kids. And then, you know, Jackson's been through the ringer, unfortunately, that, you know, came out, the truth finally came out. And then just living on a daily wherever we go, we just want to be normal, mm-hmm. And go and have dinner. And we don't do that, you know. Even my daughter and I living in our town, we rarely go out a whole lot. Mm. And at my work, it's really hard because 90% of my phone calls are not about work. Or my email, you know, and it's hard because I'm like, I still go to work and I still, you know, want to live normal. But it's like a new normal, I guess, that I'm slowly getting there. But when I say it's been the hardest 7 years of learning a new life, almost. And, and I look at some of my friends, either on social media or, you know, in different things, and I'm like, I'm jealous that they have this normal, you know, their kids are the same age as Patrick and Jackson, and they have this normal situation, and we don't.
Yeah.
And it's super difficult. I can say we're blessed, and, you know, Patrick's living out his dream, and I want all of my kids to do that, but it has been, the attacks from different direction has been super overwhelming as a mother and as a friend to my kids and, you know, just as a human. It's hard.
So how do you handle that? Because I know, I mean, listen, I work for the Rangers. I've been the field reporter for whatever, but I get, you know, the hate and mean shit and all that kind
with
of
social
stuff.
Social media these days. Everyone can say anything.
But I remember even when I first started and I finally had to tell like my, because this was before like, so, but there was just the message boards. I don't know if you remember message boards. And like finally I had to tell my friends and like my family, like just stop. Stop reading it.
Yeah.
Stop trying to get on there and defend me. So, just stop. Like I'll take care of it. I'll handle it. I've developed really thick skin now over the years. And so I feel like a lot of times it's harder for the people close to you. And again, Patrick Mahomes is a very different story than mine, but I'm just saying like a small little example. I can't imagine what it's like, you know, for you guys caring about someone and knowing the volume of the shit that's said. And it's got to be. And then, like Mia, she's just like, man, I'm just trying to be an eighth grader, you know?
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Exactly. It's one day at a time. It's a lot of prayer. I've cried myself to sleep reading some of the things that, you know, that I know that my kids see. I've just, you know, dealt with it. I've kept my close friends close. I've learned that some people – I thought we're friends. It's really been hard just because, you know, I even like say, I know I met them because of this new life we have. And I like want to give people the benefit of the doubt. And there's been a lot that's been great, but then there's been some that has been really hurtful that, they weren't friends for the right reasons, or, maybe I'm too gullible sometimes, but it's a whole new learning thing. And I think I hate it most because I'm a little older and I understand and just different things. But for my other two children, it's a lot for them to have to take in, whether us three are hanging out or we're doing something. I hear things, you know, and that I wouldn't want them to hear.
Yeah.
And there's been times that I've looked at social media, thank goodness for block. I have blocked thousands of people. But then there's also times I look, and I know after we won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, I kind of went back and I was just looking through social media, trying to fall asleep. And I would look and someone would give me so much hate to me and to my children, all three of them. And I'm like, I would look at their social media and I would be like, this is a beautiful, like, all-American family. Like, why would this mom or dad reach out to say this? And there were a few times that I would reach back out and say, well, you have a beautiful family, and I would never say anything ugly about your family, especially without knowing them. So I'm sorry that, you know, and I would say it. And most of the time, I didn't do it very often. They would come back and say, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. But I can't do it to everyone. But at the same time, like, the people that do meet Mia and that meet Jackson, they, like, love them so much. And they're like, oh, my gosh, we love these kids, you know. And, like, they're great. And they don't, you know, they're just looking at Patrick on this pedestal, mm-hmm. And just trying to tear everything else down. So it's I don't wish it on even my worst enemy. I have said that. I don't wish it on anyone, because it, as a mother, you don't want to read or see things about your children, especially when you know it's not true. I've always told my kids, if you do something wrong, I'm going to be the first one to, like, get on to you, do whatever. But, as you know, if you're living right, I am going to have your back through anything. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, mama bears, like, no matter what, yes. You always want to protect your kids, no matter who they are, no matter what they're doing. And you want to protect all your kids and the other.
Absolutely.
Everybody in your family besides him is just kind of hanging out, right?
Yes.
You're doing the same thing you've been doing. So I can see how that would be a whole lot. And Mia's a soccer champ, right?
Well, she does basketball.
And
tennis now.
Okay.
And volleyball.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
I thought I saw some videos of her playing soccer. Maybe it was someone else or something.
No, when she was really small, she did, but not anymore.
So she's playing all the sports too. Oh, yeah. So that's probably keeping you really busy.
Oh, yeah.
Taking it keeps her all
busy,
around.
But usually I'm videoing or going live for her brothers to watch, you know, like, let them see her and everything.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
So you have, though, you talk about the social media and the downfalls of it, but you do, you've carved out a, mm-hmm. a niche for yourself to where, you know, and like you said, I think a lot of people probably don't know that you've had the same job for 20 years or whatever, that you've been an event planner. It's not, you're still doing your own thing. How important was that to you, just as a woman, as a person, to still do your own thing and for your life to not revolve around Patrick and his family?
Well, I just, it was something that I instilled in myself from a young age to support myself. And then after my divorce, I think subconsciously I said I would never depend on a man or anyone again. Mm-hmm. And even I think it went down all the way to my child or, like, to my children. And I'm like, I'm independent. I'm raising a daughter. I want her to know that she can do it by herself and not to depend on anyone. And so I'm looking at it through her eyes, and I want her to be able to, you know, be proud of me. And so it's just a daily, it gets harder every day. I will say that when work turns into, you know, let's talk about Patrick, sometimes it's hard, and, you know, and I'm proud and I love it, but then I have people coming to me that want to bring up things that aren't true. And then they want to argue. I'm like, no, I'm not engaged. And they're like, yes, you are. I read it on the internet. I'm like, okay, but I'm telling you, right now, right. I'm not.
Yeah, I think I would know.
Or, you know, something else. And I'm like, no. And they're like, yes, I read it. I'm like, no, you know. And so it just gets to be overwhelming sometimes in at work. But my work family, and it's amazing. I love them. And they're some of my solid people in my life that I just adore. So, mm-hmm.
So in addition to the event planning, you have written a children's book.
Well, I have inspired a children's book. I'm not quite there on writing it, but it's Play Together.
Okay.
And me and my best friend have, we've been friends since sixth grade. We got really close the last few years, and it was something that we had talked about, and it has a Bible verse on each page, and it talks about playing together on the playground. Mm-hmm. So it's fun, but at the same time, it's teaching kids, and I have two grandkids too. And so it's something that I wish my mom was here, because I know she would be so proud of it, anything that I've done. She would be really proud, and I dedicate it to her in my heart. It's to my mom. And so it's just something that, you know, I'm super proud of, and I'm proud of the things that I'm able to do with the platform that I'm at. My number one thing is my faith and my family. Mm-hmm. And then I'm really focusing on mental health because of what we have been through as a family. Just the years of struggle and even before Patrick made it, you know, just the mental health and it's gotten worse, you know, but we all deal with it. I think everyone deals with it in some fashion. And so I'm just really getting out there to let people know that the truth about our family, because I think a lot of times people look at this like silver lining of it and what Patrick's doing, and it's amazing. It is a silver lining. He is living his dream times 100, you know, he's there. But at the same time, it has been hard on all of us as a family. And I'm sure with him, he's just wanting to play football and be with his family and his kids. But at the same time, he's being put and asked questions that he's just trying to play football, you know, but yeah. He's having to talk about things that, you know, he may not would want to talk about.
Yeah. It's publicly. It's part of it, but it's almost like that. Once you get to a certain, you know, pay grade or something, people are like, they lose all sympathy for mm-hmm. it. It's like, well, I mean,
yeah,
he makes millions of dollars, but yeah. I mean, he's about, you know, so what are you complaining about? Like,
yeah.
We just like, we lose this empathy once someone becomes so rich or yes. so successful or so famous that we just think that, like, I mean, I deal with it all the time with the players. They'll be like, they're making millions of dollars to hit the ball.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. Like,
with all these people looking at you
right.
and all the pressure yeah, and everything.
I mean, it's just
yes.
like we have this really
it's entitlement. Yeah. It's like an entitlement media.
Sure.
Entitlement.
Yeah. And just like, we just don't, and it's, I'm sure a lot of it is rooted in jealousy, that it's mm-hmm. like you're jealous because you don't have all this money and fame and fortune, all that kind of stuff. And then also, too, just this whole like, well, I mean, once you make a certain amount of money, then you just need to stop bitching about everything.
Yeah.
Just stop. Just mm-hmm. count your
You still
your,
have the same
yeah,
issues.
I know, but
yes.
just count
yeah.
your money
yes.
and be happy and just sit back and be quiet and let everybody attack you. And mm-hmm. it's like, okay, that's got to suck.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And I feel bad because, I mean, he is so busy that he doesn't get a chance to really, you know, sit back and relax. But then again, I was busy with two jobs for so long that I didn't get, you know, so – I mean, he's learning and, you know, just doing what the best that he can. But we're all learning together. Like I say, this it's a new life almost, a new way of living. It's a little different than the way we were living, you know, 8 years ago. And he would call me for money. I kind of enjoyed it whenever they actually needed me for money because my boys needed me for something. And so I'm like, okay, they don't even need me for money, like, to take them to dinner, you know. They take me to dinner, and I'm
yeah.
like, wait a minute, you know.
That's different.
And that was even hard for a long time for Patrick to have him buy my meal. I'm like, he's my son. Like, I buy yeah. his meal. Like, I help, you know, do that. But that
yeah.
was a weird, hard thing for me as a mom that always, like, did it all. For not to have to
all
do
of
that.
A sudden,
yeah,
yeah, have
and
that.
But we can't go out to eat anymore. It's kind of sad. Like,
yeah,
we can't do normal things as a family. And we try to make it normal, but usually when I see Patrick, and which I'm glad is we're at his house, you know,
yeah.
like. But I'm glad because I'm like, okay, I kind of get him to myself, you know, because he's still my child, just like Jackson and Mia, and I'm like. I'm a little selfish sometimes. I want him to myself. So I want to be able to talk to him and not have anyone around
yeah.
and just be our family.
Well, he probably loves that too. Like you said, like when he's with you and when he's in your house and still mom, you're the
yeah.
person that can be honest with him. And he feels like back when he was a kid again,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I just want to say, like, as you know, as much as there is the negativity, and I know how hard it is to have that level of spotlight on your family, the other side of it is, you know, as I was coming in here, I was telling my almost 9-year-old son what I was doing, and
yeah.
his eyes lit up. Tell her how much I love
oh,
him, and
that is
just
so
how
sweet.
Good of a role model he is,
yeah.
and how that is because I'm sure how he was raised, right?
Yeah.
And so,
I
just
agree.
The fact that he has that platform now, and he's spreading that to young kids, and mm-hmm. doing things the right way, and just being such a stand-up person, and now dad, because of you guys and, well, like and because of your support. That's huge.
Like, you know, all these people are looking up to you.
Yeah.
You know, these kids, like you just, if them, like for them to even have like one step closer, like if they, I'm like, why would they be excited to meet me? But then I'm like, they're one step closer to meeting Patrick, you know, or, you know, and usually I have some in my purse. If it's kids, I'm like, here, you know, trying to give them something.
Yeah.
Just because like that used to be my kids, you know, that was, you know, fans and she, you know, loves basketball when we go watch the Mavs play or
y'all are huge Mavs fans, yes. Aren't you?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, so.
We love the Mavs. She got to go the other night when they won. And so
y'all were good luck.
Yeah. She better go. Y'all better go back.
I know. I'm six. Like, well, I'm like, do I need to send her to Boston? Like,
come on. I need that good mojo there.
Yeah. But we, you know, we love sports. Our family does. And so
yeah. Well, anything else that you're working on that you want to tell us about? Like, where can people get this book?
They can get it on, reach out to me on social media.
Okay.
I can make sure it's on Amazon.
Okay.
So Amazon's probably the easiest that most people have it. But it is Play Together, and it's, you know, there's too many arguing and fighting and stuff. And I'm like, let's all play together.
Yep.
Like, let's not like pay attention to like,
I know some
fun
grown-ups that could benefit.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Exactly. Let's all get along. Like, you know, life is too short.
It is.
And so that's what I try to remind myself. And that's what I'm, my new outlook is to like live in the moment and, not look behind as much and kind of go. And I'm learning this new way of living and, you know, just accepting what it is right now. And, you know, the other day I was like, if time could stand still, I finally was at a really good, happy, like all around place. And I was just like, oh my gosh, finally, you know, like it's been such a struggle. I'm learning all of this too, along with Patrick and Brittany and Jackson and Mia, and I'm learning as they learn on all of this. And so, but it has been something that my main focus is to keep our little family together and strong. And that's what I pray for every day, is for us to stay strong and together. And I love how close Patrick and Jackson are. They're at one point in their life when, if you have boys, talk to some friends that have younger boys, I thought they would never like each other, the year apart. And now they're like best friends. Like once Patrick like went to college and they kind of grew up, and I'm like, they're like best friends. Like he trusts Jackson with anything. And I'm like, I love that. And vice versa, because family is so important.
Yeah.
That's awesome. One more thing before we let you go. And just so you've talked about this, you know, this new life you're living. Is there one thing that you're like, holy crap, I cannot believe I got to do that, or this happened, or somebody you got to meet, or anything like that, that you're like, wow, that was, because I'm assuming by now you're taking a lot of things in stride.
Yeah.
But is there something that's like, whoa, I can't believe that happened?
I will say at one point when I was in my darkest spot, struggling on how to like navigate this new life, I was like, who will my kids like, could they relate to? I mean, this was like 5 years ago. I was like, who could they relate to? Who could I talk to that they would like? At the time, I was like, no one's listening to me. You know, I was that mom. And I reached out to Kris Jenner, and she called me. And I still value everything that she shared with me, because at the time, Patrick hadn't, maybe he won the first Super Bowl, maybe he hadn't, but I was just like, I need someone that can help me navigate through this, that my kids would be like, you really did that,
right?
You know, and I reached out, and she called me and helped me just to kind of like ground everything.
Yeah.
So I was like, Patrick has his way, Jackson's looking for his way of, you know, doing something, and one day Mia will, and I don't know how to navigate it, and all of your kids are like successful and you're helping with that, and I didn't want to be the manager of anything. I just wanted to be the mom that kind of, and she gave me some really great advice, and I thought, wow, did she just call Randy Mahomes?
Yeah.
And I was at work that day. Did she just call me at work? Like, wow, And so I really thought that was like amazing for her to take the time out of her day to just be a mom and talk to me.
That's
and
great.
So that I thought that was really cool, because at the time I was like, I met someone that might know. And so I just sent them a text and I was like, do you have any way I could talk to Kris Jenner? And the person was like, yeah. And then like in the, within 30 minutes we had a scheduled phone call, and I was like, how? Wow.
Yeah.
Like,
she's been through it all. She's seen it all.
I'm like, who am I?
Yeah.
And so, and then the same with when, this is kind of a little different, but when Patrick played his first Super Bowl, and I remember calling him and saying, this is once in a lifetime. Like, go out there and just, which I plan weddings, so I tell brides this all the time. But for him, I'm like, it's once in a lifetime. Like, just enjoy it. Take every single moment in. And just like, and he was like, no, it's not. I'm go, no, yes. This was like a day or two before the Super Bowl, the first one. And I'm like, no, really, this is like.
You never know when you're going to get
back. Some guys
back.
Have played their whole career and never, but just take it in. And he's like, oh, no, we're going to be back. We're going to win again. We're going to do that. And I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, I'm thinking this is my child. I'm like, whatever, but take it in. And he's proved me wrong. Yeah. Like, he's like, boom, boom, boom. I'm like, let's do it again. Let's do a three-peat. And this year, though, I did say when they win, because I speak it into existence, I'm going to the ring ceremony if I have to crash it. So if anyone wants to go with me, I'm like, I haven't been invited to any of them, and I'm going to crash the ring ceremony.
It looked like fun.
Red carpet. I'm like, wait a minute. I was just really happy when Gracie Hunt went live that night, and I got to kind of watch it. I was like, oh, my gosh. I'm watching it like I'm there, but I'm not. So I'm crashing the next one.
Okay. I think you deserve to be there.
I think security might have me, but I'm crashing the next one.
I agree.
Yeah.
The
mom's the first person that should get the invite.
I was like, wait a minute here.
If you need like assistance, we'll.
That's what I'm saying. We need assistance. Yeah, we're going to go and like, we're getting in there.
For sure.
For sure.
Well, Randy Mahomes, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we appreciate it, and you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
You know where to find us now if you want
yes,
a microphone, if you want to come sit and chat.
If you need any parenting advice from me. Or
yes. I could always use parenting
advice. Or Julie. Well, no, it's the other way around with our kids, for sure, being younger. But we're super excited
thank
that
you
came today, and thrilled for your success. And of course, we'll be watching.
I just hope to use my platform to inspire other moms. I always say single moms, because I was a single mom 99% of the time. And I love when I share with groups of women and they're like, wow, we didn't know that. Wow, we didn't, you know. And I'm like, you can do it too. I'm like, if I can do it, then I think anyone could do it. I mean, I just think, like, I moved out of my house when I was 16. I was on my own, and you know, I survived and love my parents, love my family, but it was something I needed to do. And I survived, and I'm like, if I can do it and raise three great kids, then, you know, anybody could do it. Like, I'm from Troop, Texas. Like, hey, you can do it. So
you not only survived, but you are thriving, and we appreciate you sharing your story with us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Okay, we end every episode. Nope. You look into your camera.
It's cheesy.
This one? The white one. And we throw up, as cheesy as it is, we throw up the peace sign and we say mom game out. So we'll do that on the count of three.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Two, three.
Mom game out.
The Mom Game is proud to partner with local GEICO offices, Victoria Elliott, proudly serving your local community.